So it was a great night. And as a matter of fact, according to John Wilson, Big John back at the Radio Ranch, there's a special guest who is a big part of last night's festivities.
Good. All right, let's get him. Hello, good morning.
Hey, Marty, I felt like I blew you up yesterday, so I apologize.
No, I was glad. You know, I always love talking about you, and I did a couple of hits for SFG Live about you, and I said, you know, you could read the phone book. Of course, it's Wayne Kuiper, and I love listening to you. So congratulations. What a night for you last night.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and there was really so much going on before the game that that I really didn't get a chance to give you equal time. So
you're the best. No, of course you're the best. How about the kids last night? Your son and daughter. That was pretty good.
Throwing out the first pitch.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Giants asked me if I would do it. Comcast asked me, and I said, you know, I think everything that you've done tonight is plenty enough. And they asked my kids if they would like to do it, and they. It turned out to be a really, really, really fun night.
Hey, Dwayne, on CSN Bay Area, I went to the website, and they had a very cute video of your kids and you talking about the all the articles from that famous day back in the when you hit the one home run. It was a really cute video featuring your children. Did you see that? Obviously, you've seen the finished product.
I saw the finished product. We were out of town when they did it. And the only problem was is my wife was telling me that my daughter, Dannon, had a really hard time doing it. Because it was kind of making fun of her dad. And she did not like doing it, but she turned out they both did a great job, as did Bill Melton, Ray Fossey, you know, my partner, Mike, everybody that was on it was really, if you haven't seen it, yeah, you should check it out.
Oh, beautiful. Hey, you know, the reason I asked you last night, and of course, you know, I was going to do a little research because I wanted to mention it on the show today about your career. I didn't realize how many times you were drafted. Before signing right. with the Cleveland Indians. I mean, you were drafted like almost a half a dozen times and turned it down every time. What happened?
Well, there's a couple of things involved. You know, one is I was 17 and I got drafted by the Yankees. And I was not ready to go. Thurman Munson got drafted in the first round. I got drafted in the 10th round by the Yankees. And I was green as a gourd. Like, I'm raised on a dairy farm. You know, I hadn't been more than 100 miles away from our farm. So I was not really ready. So I ended up going to a junior college. And in junior college, you get drafted in the winter and the summer. So I kept getting drafted. And the other thing, too, Mark, is back in those days, we all had a number, a draft number. And if you left college and they went up to that number, mine was 117, you were going to go. You know, the Vietnam War was going strong, and so you had to stay in school to you know, avoid, you know, what was an education and a career.
Boy, I know it well. Believe me, I had the 2S student deferment taken away in my second year of law school, so I know that one quite well in those days. But you end up at Southern Illinois, and then you go to Western Kentucky is on the resume. How did you get there?
Well, I was never at Western Kentucky. I went to Centerville Community College. Those were the first 2 years. And then the next, actually one season at SIU. And then after my junior year, I had a scout say, look, teams are starting to think that you don't want to play. And, you know, so that was the final straw. Plus, my grades weren't that great either.
All right. You know, coming over to the Giants in 81 for Ed Whitson, did you have any idea that you were going to be moved at that time?
I had no idea, and I was absolutely shocked. And I did everything I could to fail the physical so I didn't have to come here. and I remember Tom Haller talking to the orthopedic surgeon who checked my knee. And I know what the doctor said on the other line. He said, you know, his knee's not very good. You probably shouldn't make the trade. And I'm sitting in the room, and I can hear the one-way conversation with Tom Haller. And Tom Haller says to the doctor, we want him anyway. It's like, oh, no! And, of course, it turned out to be the best thing that could ever happen.
Absolutely. You know, I didn't realize also, and it was in the Chronicle this morning, you led the team in pinch hits 1 year. And of course, that record was eventually broken. But what was your secret to pinch hitting? Were you a guy first pitched, hit it, and just rip it?
Well, the way Frank used me was more of a guy to get on base. And so I rarely swung at the first pitch. As a matter of fact, I have almost avoided it because I figured if I could get ahead in the count 1-0, 2-0, you know, I had a chance to get on base. And you know, look, I had 14 pinch hits at the time. That was pretty good. But, you know, Ken Obergefell flew by that. Andy Model, before Obergefell flew by it. So 14 wasn't a big number. But for me, after having spent years as a starter and then playing behind Joe Morgan, you know, I was just going to take advantage of every opportunity I could. And in that case, it was pinch hitting.
Well, you know, it's so nice to have you on, and I just love, you know, that. I've loved talking to you going back to 1987 when I was still a lawyer and I'd come out and program the board. But, you know, looking back in life, and did you ever see this coming, the bobblehead, Hall of Fame ballot as a broadcaster? When did all this sort of come to fruition for you? When did you see this, say, you know, this could actually happen, I could get this career going?
Well, I think if you see all of this, yeah, I think if you think that all of this is going to happen, or if you try very hard for all of this to happen, it's not nearly as much fun. It has to come as a little bit of a surprise. Look, if you're Barry Bonds and you're a number one draft pick and you're fast and you can hit the ball out of the park, you can see a lot of things come. But if you're from a dairy farm in Wisconsin that doesn't hit home runs, you know, fairly fast, you know, good defensive player, you don't see a whole lot coming. And then when you retire, you think that, oh, well, maybe I'm going to be a coach or a manager. And then you realize that, you know, that's really not for me. And then to have an opportunity to get into broadcasting, you know, that's something you really have to jump at. And, you know, I don't think broadcasters, at least former players, I don't think those guys are born to broadcast. I think you have to be lucky. I think you have to have a decent voice. And then I think you have to have an area, Northern California for me, that was willing to live through the first two or three years where you aren't very good. And if you can get through those years and gain some confidence and keep doing games, then you're in the perfect spot, and it was for me.
Well, you know, you're so genuine, and I think that was it for me. You know, when you speak, I think you're just speaking from your heart and the way baseball should be played and the way it should be described. But I saw you last night. You were pretty pumped about this bobblehead thing. I want to tell you, you looked very proud last night.
Well, you know, it was a buildup. You know, and when I was approached in November by Mario Aliotto, he said, you know what, I want to do this. Do you want to do it? And I said, well, yeah, I want to do it, but I want the bobblehead to, I'd like to be a little bit a part of what it looks like. And I looked at some of the swings I had in pictures, and you know, they were, none of them were home run swings. So we went with the picture of a follow through laying the bat down, which, by the way, could be an infield hit. So we don't know what happened on that swing. I'm quite sure it didn't go out of the park. So that's what we ended up with. I think it turned out very, very nice. And you know, as the evening went on and they kept showing highlights on the scoreboard, I almost went into Kevin Skillings and said, all right, Kevin, we can stop now. but I kept enjoying it more and more, and I knew my kids and wife were enjoying it. So yeah, it was a lot of fun, a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be.
I know, I could see it in your face last night, and you deserve it, very deservedly so. I said last night, I think I saw you almost hit another one off the right field wall at Candlestick against the Pirates. I think I was at that game. Do you remember that one?
Hit it off of Jim Bibby.
Ah, good.
And I liked Jim Bibby so much, I did not want the ball to go out. As we were teammates in Cleveland. And I actually think Jim Bibby laid it in there. I do. And then he was just the greatest big, oversized puppy that I'd ever played baseball with. And look, if that goes out, there's no bobblehead, right?
And it did. I could see it today sitting there. I think it hit like three-quarters of the way up the wall.
Well, yeah, I do think, in all honesty, that – if you were going to hit one, right field is not a bad place to do it. So I think it probably did get a little help.
All right. Hey, I love having you on, and I appreciate you calling. And as I say, you deserve it. I know you loved it. The fans love you. And many, many, many more happy nights at the park for you.
Well, thank you. Keep you down, and Marty, as always, thank you for everything.
All right. The great Duane Kuiper joining us. Wow. Something else, huh?